Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him." The Bible says, without faith, you can't please him. I really want to please him, don't you? I'm so thankful for his grace and mercy. But I really want to please him. And the way you please him is to live a life of faith. So today I want you to look in your Bible into 2 Kings chapter 5. And this is a message God given me this last couple of weeks. I've told this story before, but I've never taken this passage of Scripture and taught on faith like I believe God is wanting me to this morning. I've entitled this message, How Faith Works. We need to know what faith is, and we need to know how faith works. And Manly Beasley, you've heard me say this before, and some of you hopefully have it memorized, said that faith is believing something that is not. I'm having a hard time getting that out. Faith is believing something that is not so is so, because God said it was so, and he'll make it so. In other words, faith is believing God, therefore believing his word. If I say, I give you my word, I hope that means something to you. That I pray that you say, well, if Pastor Rod gives you his word, I believe he'll keep it. Well, if you believe that about me, you should definitely believe that even a far greater amount about God. God has given his word. And what he wants you to do is believe him and obey it. Obey his word. And if you do, he will bless your life. I was reading just a moment ago. I felt impressed to read about Abraham and how God blessed Abraham. He blessed him. He said, you'll be blessed all your life. And then in Galatians, Paul writes, we have the blessing of Abraham. We'll be blessed all of our lives. You believe that. You don't have to live under some kind of curse. I'm not going to get better. I'm not going to be blessed. You are blessed if you belong to God. You just need to believe it. That's why Romans 12, 1 and 2 is so important. I beseech you, therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship or service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Believe God's word in your mind. It's strange what people believe today. It is really strange. And the reason they believe such strange stuff is because they don't have God's word in their mind and in their heart. They've not been born again, and their mind has not been transformed by the word of God. Put the word in your mind. It's God's word. He's given it to you. Believe it in faith, and you'll be blessed. And you'll please him. Okay, good introduction. Amen. All right, let's go through. Here's what I want to do this morning, is read through 2 Kings chapter 5, several verses, and read the story to you and make comments on it. And then we're going to go back and look at three truths this morning. And so first, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. Now this is taking place during the divided kingdom. Syria was very, very powerful. Israel was really subservient to Syria. So, great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. Because by him, the Lord, isn't that interesting? A heathen nation and a heathen ruler, really. For by him, the Lord had given victory to Syria. God has a plan even for Russia, even for Syria, today's Syria, even for Iraq, even for North Korea. Nothing happens apart from the sovereign hand of God. So, look, he was also found as a mighty man of valor. So here's this Naaman who was blessed by God, even though he wasn't a Christian or wasn't a believer. He was blessed by God and used to bless a nation. And he was a man of valor, indicating that he was a man of character. And God loved him, or God was with him. But look at the next phrase. But a leper. Those three words are real important. He had everything going for him, except he was a leper. And back in biblical days, if you had leprosy, you were in Israel an outcast. They had separate places for you. Not necessarily so in Syria, but a leper was a bad, bad, bad thing to have because the disease was incurable. And no one obviously wanted to be around you if you were a leper. So he had everything going for him. He was the king's favorite. He was a great general. He was a man of valor. He was probably very wealthy and well-respected, but he was a leper. He had a big problem. Even though everything else was good, he had a big problem. And I got a feeling that most everyone is like that. There's lots of good things going on in your life, but you have a problem. The problem, one of the things this is a picture of, is a picture of sin in the Bible. In other words, all of us have a sin problem, and it's incurable in our own efforts. You can't be right with God in your own efforts. All you can do is believe God's word and act on it. How about this verse? Do you believe it? John 3:16, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if I ask you if you believe that, all of you would say a rousing amen. Amen. God loves you. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And if you'll receive Christ into your life, you have eternal life. That's from the word of God. That's one verse. There are thousands of verses in God's word, and they're all just as true as John 3:16. And if you are a sinner, he'll forgive you. Well, Naaman was a leper, a great general, but a leper. Let's go on and see the sovereignty of God. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back a captive, a young girl. Now I want you to see something here, and that is the sovereign hand of God. People come into your life for a reason. There's a purpose in it. It might be random. Why in the world did they come into my life? Charlie, I believe you came into this church's life. Bob, I believe you came into this church's life. God has a purpose for you being here. Brent, you just didn't grow up in this church by accident. Brent, you didn't. You didn't. I called you Brett because there's a guy in Oklahoma City that I've been praying for a lot. And I want you to pray for Brett. He's 50 years old and they found he has throat cancer. So he's really been on my heart. His dad is a very, very close friend of mine, Brett. But God has a purpose in all of your lives, in all of our lives. So this captive young girl wasn't captured by accident, but God had a plan for her. Look at it. Young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. She could have waited on the king's wife. But she waited on Naaman's wife. I'm wanting you to get a picture that God's in charge. He's working in your life. He brings people into your life for a reason. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. So here's this girl captured in Israel, brought to be a slave to Naaman, and she's telling Naaman's wife, your husband has leprosy, and there's a prophet in Israel that can help him. Wow, how did that happen? You're here today, and you're not even sure why you came. Maybe someone invited you. Maybe you just drove by and saw the sign. But here's what I want you to hear. This message is for you. You're not here by accident. God wants to say something to you. Isn't that good news? So, verse 4. And Naaman went in and told his master, went and told the king, Ben-Hadad, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Now the king of Syria said, go now, talking to Naaman, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So this king Ben-Hadad was so powerful that all the countries around, including Israel, were afraid of him. So Naaman departed and took with him, look at this, 10 talents of silver. 10 talents of silver. And I understand that a talent, as I look this up, weighs about 130 pounds times 10. That means he took 1,300 pounds of silver. That's a lot of silver. Then he took 6,000 shekels of gold. Now, a shekel, I understand, is about 0.5 ounces. So let's double that and take that times 6,000. And so what I figured is, give or take, about $8 million in today's standards worth of gold. So 1,300 pounds of silver, $8 million worth of gold. Are y'all still there? And a bunch of clothing as well. And clothing in those days was very, very important and sign of wealth. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. So here's the king of Israel reading this letter from his archenemy, who's really in control, and saying, I've sent Naaman, who's a leper, who's uncurable, for you to heal. And it happened when the king of Israel read this letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive? Pardon me. I got excited. Am I a God that I can cause someone who's dead to come back to life? That's how they saw leprosy. It was a sentence of death. Can I bring somebody back to life? Can I heal this man's leprosy? And he tore his clothes and said, this king is wanting a war with us, or he wouldn't be sending this letter. And that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy. Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks to quarrel with me. Verse 8. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes. We don't know how he heard, but he heard. That he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Very interesting. Elisha says, I believe God. And God impressed me to tell you that if he'll come to me, I'll show him who God is. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored, and you shall be clean." Now, God could speak to you audibly today, but he sent a messenger, and that's all I am. I'm a paper boy. I just throw the paper out there, the word out there, and you can read it or you can take it or not. It can stand in bushes and the sprinkler get it or whatever you want to do, but I'm delivering the word. So he said, "This is what God wants me to say to you." And besides that, as I've just said, Elisha didn't come. He sent a messenger. Come close to me. You want great fulfillment in your life? Be a messenger. Where's David? Is David still here? I guess he's one of those music guys that leave after he sings. So no. No, I'm just, where is David? Oh, there he is. No, not, oh, okay, there's David. David, the piano player. Maybe he had to go somewhere else. But anyway, here's what I want you to hear. He was a messenger this morning. Okay? So, go, and the messenger said to Naaman. Now look in verse 11. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal my leprosy." What do you see there? We'll talk about more about that in a moment, but here's one of the problems. Not only did he have a leprosy problem, he had a pride problem. "I'm a general, and I deserve better than that." I've seen preachers like that, haven't you, Bob? I'm the preacher.
That's pretty good, brother.
Yeah, I'm the preacher. Baloney. The Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Man, I tell you what, I don't want his resistance. I've got enough trouble without God resisting me. And you need to understand about pride. Pride is standing in judgment of others. Oh, he's not much. Being critical of others, that's pride. Trying to manipulate power, that's pride. Trying to cause problems, that's pride. I know best. It's pride. And look at my eyes. You're heading for a battle that you're going to lose. Isn't that good news? Pride is so deceptive, and we can see it in others, but we can't see it in ourselves. But I'm telling you, if your thoughts are judgmental, if your thoughts are critical, if your thoughts are you've got the answers, you're prideful and you're heading for a fall, including some people in politics. Now, but Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out and call on the name of the Lord and heal me." And then verse 12, "Are not the Abana and the Phifar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Praise God for servants. Look next. And his servants came to him, came near to, and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all of his aides, and came and stood before him and said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except the God of Israel. So much I'd love to share with you, but we just need to take a few moments and pick out a few truths. But I want to leave this one thought with you before we do that. God wants to use you to give glory to Him. So if you'll just be you, Joe, if you'll just be you and love people and pray for people and share with people as a servant of God, God will use you and folks will give glory to God. He's done that before. He'll still do that. Some of you think, well, I'm too old to do that. No way. When God is through with you, He'll take you home. And to, if you're still here, would you raise your hands, please? I want to make sure you all are still here. So, God wants to use you. Speak His love. Speak His word. And let Him use you. Because people can be clean through the speaking of God's word. So, quickly, let's look at three truths. I've written them for you in your bulletin. How does faith work? It is characterized by intense desire. God works in us through need. We live in a sinful, fallen world, and it rains on all of us, the just and the unjust. Trouble comes to all of us. You would think, you know, I'm just going to use myself in a moment as an example. You would think that a man serving God, a man preaching the word, a man who loves God with all of his heart, wouldn't have a bum knee. But I got a bum knee. And I prayed for healing. Guess what? It hurts worse. Because God is sovereign. Can He heal it? Absolutely. Do I believe He can heal it? Absolutely. And it's so much a minor thing, except it hurts me. So therefore, it's a big thing. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But He could heal me anytime. But God, I think, a lot of times allows pain, whatever it is, that's certainly a minor pain to what a lot of people have, to keep our attention on Him. So, it's characterized by intense desire. Our relationship with God begins with a deep sense of need. I don't think people genuinely come to God until they say, man, I really need something beside myself. So, Naaman, he was a leper. He had everything going for him, everything in life going for him, except he was a leper. And God in His sovereignty allowed Naaman to be a leper so that he would seek Him. That make sense? Some of you are saying, well, why did this happen in my life? Or why is this going on in my life? What's going on? Why is this happening? I'm telling you why it's happening. God is allowing it, catch that word, didn't cause it. God's allowing it that you might seek Him. I have a new friend in Dallas. He's a surgeon. I don't want to mention his name, but he's a surgeon. He had one child. And that child, about 2 months ago, committed suicide by an overdose of drugs in college. He reached out to me. We've been talking. But guess what? I don't understand why that happened, and we've had that visit together. There's no way you can explain why a child is taken from you. But one thing I understand is God's in charge, and He promised to use everything for good. And so what I said to him, the Bible says, blessed in the eyes of the Lord are the death of His saints. He very well could have taken your son out, allowed your son to be taken out, so he wouldn't face some of the pain that he was going to face in the future. Who knows? But I know this, that doctor is desperate for God. He's seeking God with all of his heart. God can fix your problem by healing your heart, but you've got to seek him. Naaman had everything this world had to offer. Prestige, power, wealth. But he was a leper. And he sought God. Are y'all there? So remember all of your life. When trouble comes, when pain comes, when heartache comes, it's a chance for you to seek God. A good friend of mine, I've told you about him before. His name is Gilbert Little. I called Gilbert just to check on him this morning driving down, and he's telling me about the things God's doing in his life. Gilbert Little in Shreveport, Louisiana, was going to another church. 3 or 4 years before, he had two daughters. His first one came down with an illness. And in just a few days, she died and went to heaven. I was not his pastor during that time, but there were people from all over the city of Shreveport going in and praying because Gilbert was well known there. But his daughter died. Gilbert did the wrong thing. I think it was David who said, life can either make you better or bitter. Gilbert became bitter. And Gilbert made some bad choices. And it almost cost him his marriage. But he was so at the end of himself one Sunday morning. He said, I don't know what made me do it. But instead of turning left to go to his former church or to his church he was going to, he turned right and came to Summer Grove where I was pastoring. I saw him sitting way in the back. That week, we saw each other. And he began to tell me what he had been doing and how his marriage was just about over. But he said, Pastor, I'm desperate. So I began to take him through, he and his wife, through one-on-one with God. And you know, when I called him this morning, he was quoting scripture to me. He was reading the prayer in Ephesians 3 to me out loud, saying, that's what I pray for you every day. He said, Pastor Rod, you can't believe how God's blessed my life. I'm still hurting. I still carry the scar. I still long for my daughter. But God's so real to me, and He is blessing my life. Please look at my eyes and see my heart. When you go through life, you will have pain and you will have sorrow. But it's God's way of getting your attention to seek Him. Amen. Number one, remember that. It's characterized by an intense desire. Number two, you need to cancel all preconceived ideas of how God works. Only read the Word. You don't listen to stuff. You need to know God's Word. And Naaman thought that he could impress Elisha, Naaman thought he could buy his way in for Elisha. He thought man's way, you can buy it, you can be powerful, you can be impressive, you can be known, you can go in as a military person and demand healing the way you want it. And that's not God's way. And if you don't come God's way, you don't come at all. Naaman said, and we've got to close. Naaman said, you can do what you want. Elisha said to Naaman, you can do what you want. But until you're willing to humble yourself and dip 7 times in the Jordan River, you'll not be healed. And so that's the last point. Commit totally to the Word of God. Commit totally to the Word of God. And I've got to pause for a moment. If you're not in God's Word every day, you're making the greatest mistake of your life. You say, oh no, I may be... You're making the greatest mistake of your life if you're not in God's Word every morning, every day. Because God wants to speak to you. You say, well, I just can't do that. Let me come close to me. You will do what's important to you. That's what you'll do. And God will make you desperate enough to get into His Word. So he obeyed God's Word, and he was healed. Can you imagine Naaman out there in that muddy Jordan? Yuck! Dips once, twice, 3 times. I still have leprosy. Got mud all over me. I still have leprosy. Why couldn't he take $8 million and be happy? Because it's the grace of God, not your ability. The servant said, he said 7 times, oh, shut up. Five, six, seven. I'm healed. I'm well. There is a God in Israel. He does keep his word. If I obey him. And the baby agrees. Isn't it amazing how a baby can take the attention of everybody in the room? But that's God speaking to you, saying, give me your attention. I can heal you. I can cleanse you if you'll believe me. Amen? Amen. Jesus said, I was going to read to you, let me just tell you. Jesus said there was a man who built his house on a rock and a man who built his house on the stone. On the sand. And the man who built his house on the sand did what he wanted to do. And when the storms came, it crashed. But the man who built his house on the rock was the man who kept my word. And if you keep my word, when the storms come and the rains descend and the pain comes and the sorrow comes, you'll stand because you're built on the rock. And the rock is keeping God's word. Faith is believing something that is not so, is so, because God said it was so, and he'll make it so. Naaman was a leper, and he obeyed God, and he was cleansed. Can I bring the dead back to life? The king couldn't, but Jesus can. And he can take your life, no matter how you failed, and give you life and peace and hope if you'll turn to him. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would move mightily, mightily, mightily in the hearts and lives of those here today. And for those who are trying all sorts of ways to be right with you, but they're not willing to repent and turn to you and humble themselves, Father, help them to do it today. Help them to do it today.